Good afternoon. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, planning officers, committee members. We're here for the planning committee meeting, Tuesday 19th December 2023. I'll just start by way of a few introductions. Myself, Chairman Councillor Afsar. To my right are the planning officers, Naomi Perry and Lisa Bird. And to the left, I've got legal representative John Teasdale, Democratic Services Officer Daniel Corkett. If I could just ask the committee members from the right to just introduce themselves, please.
Thanks, Chair. Monica Holter.
Good afternoon, Alison Lay.
Good afternoon, Saeed Hussain.
Beth Ashcroft.
Colin Whittaker.
Jackie Jones.
Chris Medley.
Liz Bullock.
Thank you, members. I'll just start by way of some housekeeping rules. If we can remind everybody to switch off their mobile phones. We're not expecting a live fire alarm, so if you do hear a fire alarm go, if we can just go back out the way we came in, back onto the front car park. A polite notice not to call out when individuals are speaking, as it will prevent anyone else from hearing the debate. And we'll move on to agenda item number one. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chair. There are no apologies for absence.
Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interest? Thank you. I'd like to declare an interest in this item. The applicant is known to me, so I will leave this meeting for this item and allow the Vice Chair to take over. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. I now move to item number three, public minutes of the meeting held on 28th of November 2023. So, is there, can I have a seconder, please? I would like to propose this one. Councillor.
Just a correction, I think, a typo on the minutes. Councillor Hussain, you're down as voting for the motion and voting against the motion.
For the clarifications for the officers, please, and our legal officers, on that item the councillor is referring to, I voted against it, and it has been recorded. I voted for it and against it at the same time. I believe it's a typo error or something. Could you please note this one before we propose this motion?
Absolutely, Chair. We'll note that, and you can still look to approve the minutes. Subject to that.
As amended. Yeah. Thank you. So, as amended, the proposed minutes, can I propose this minute. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Legg. Can I just ask you to show your hands, those who are in favour of this minute, please? Any against? Any abstentions? I think it's been approved unanimously. Now I would like to move to number agenda item 4, urgent business. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the committee under Rule 12. Is there any urgent business notified?
No, so,
there is no urgent business notified before. Now moving to agenda item 5. Applications for planning permission to consider the attached reports. Is it only 5.1? Only 5.1. I can find item number 1, 5.1, reference to P/2022/00549. Then outline applications for the erections of a detached building to form 4 flats with all matters reserved, including demolitions of existing buildings. land between 128 and 129 Thornley Street, Burtonsford Trent, Staffordshire, DE142QP. Can I just ask the appropriate officer of the council to present the case, please?
Thank you, Chair. So, as the Chair has just said, the application is P2022-00549 relating to 128 and 129 Thornley Street in Burton-on-Trent. The application is an outline application for the erection of a detached building to form four flats with all matters reserved, including demolition of existing buildings. Outline planning permission deals with the principle of development. Members in this case need to be mindful of the number of units proposed and if it's been demonstrated that this number can be achieved without other impacts, as discussed further in this presentation. So the slide here indicates the application site edged in black. As members can see, there is a listed building to the southeast in this area here, which is St Chad's Church, and the nearest conservation area is just off the screen, as you can see at this corner up here, which is the Trent and Mersey Canal Conservation Area. This slide just indicates that zoomed out a little bit more, so the pink area is the conservation area, with the green being the listed building. As you can see, it's a highly built up area, and the site is accessed off Thornley Street, which runs in this direction. It is a one-way street subject to a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. So this slide indicates the existing and indicative proposed site layout. The existing is shown on this area here, with the existing building within the site and number 129 Thornley Street, and the proposed shown to this slide here. This is the latest indicative plan that was submitted, and it's just to remind members that the scheme was negotiated from six units down to four. So as you can see, the parking would be to the front of the site here, with some amenity space provided to the side here and here, and then the building would be situated on this footprint here. But that is indicative only. This shows the details of the elevation. So at the moment, it's a two-storey element here. This is approximately 7.5 metres to the ridge and 5.5 metres to the eaves here. And the flat roof levels that are currently present on the site are approximately 3.5 metres, which drop down to 2.3 metres adjacent to the boundary. The proposal is for approximately a 7.3 metre high building with a 5.1 metre high eave. So the ridge height here being 7.3 and then the eaves at this level 5.1, although it's reminded that this is indicative only. And during the negotiations on the application, the ridge was reduced by approximately 0.4 of a metre. This shows the existing and indicative floor plans. These being the existing plans on the site and this being the proposed. The existing building is 19.4 metres long if you discount the lean-to at the end, 22.8 metres long in total with that lean-to, and has a width between 4.9 and 5.8 metres. The building that's indicated on the submitted drawings would measure approximately 17.8 metres long and be 5.6 metres wide, so it is slightly shorter in length. This site plan shows just the proposed indicative site layout and is annotated. It's quite difficult to see, but there is an orange dotted line that the agent put on this plan to show the existing footprint, which is in approximately this location here, and it runs down and then it does come out slightly here and then down again that way. The red line that's on there is a line that I've indicated following the site visit, where members could see that there was a fence line. So the fence line is situated in approximately that position at the moment. Following members' questions as well during the site visit this morning, this plan is to indicate separation distances to the properties that are to the rear of the site. So the building here is the existing two-storey building, dropping down to single-storey here. And these properties are two-storey dwellings that are situated on Ruskin Place. The distance here is approximately 28 metres. The neighbouring property has got a rear extension, so the distance is reduced to 17.9 metres. However, it's noted that the existing building on the site here is two-storey, and that situation would not change as a result of this application. Members also asked for some clarification about the lean-to on site this morning. So this is a shot from Google Maps which just shows it a little more clearly. So the building that I think most members were referring to is this building here. This is actually situated, as can shown in this more zoomed in picture, that's actually situated within the garden, the rear garden of number 27 Ruskin Place, and that's not the outbuilding. This roof line that you can just see above the fencing is the lean-to that's situated on the site at the moment. And there is a door shown on the submitted details to that outbuilding on this elevation with no other openings. So the next slide just shows some photographs of the existing site. So this shows the front elevation from within the site. As you can see, the building drops down from two-storey to single-storey. This gives a view of the neighbouring properties. So this is number 128 Thornley Street to the side. This photograph was taken a little while ago, so it indicates the extension works that were underway, but members would have seen this morning that the extension is now complete. So there's two windows here that serve bedrooms, and there is a kitchen window underneath which you can't see for the boundary wall. And this property here is number 129 Thornley Street, which is within the applicant's ownership. This is just a view looking towards the site from the neighbour's garden at number 128. So as you can see, the existing single-storey element is right up against the boundary wall, and it moves away and gets taller. The building that's there gets taller as it moves away from the boundary. So these details indicate the street scene, viewing the site southwards along Thornley Street. This is number 128, and number 129 is situated here. And again, that's number 129, which is in the applicant's ownership, and this property is 128. This drawing just looks in the opposite direction along Thornley Street, and you can see the access to the site here that we went into this morning, and that's looking back towards Shakespeare Road. And as you can see, there's parked cars on both sides of the road, and it is there's only sufficient space to get one vehicle down, so it's a one-way street. This just details the neighbouring property and the extensions that were approved to that property and have now been constructed. So if you could just note, the green circles are the habitable room windows serving the kitchen at ground floor and bedrooms at first floor level. In terms of consultation responses, the Highway Authority were consulted in respect of the application and requested further information in respect of visibility displays and a parking survey to support the on-street parking, as there's insufficient parking within the site. This information wasn't provided. Historic England confirmed that they've got no comments to make, and the ESBC waste team confirmed that the appropriate waste receptacles would be required but could be secured via condition. Horninglow and Eton Parish Council raised the following concerns in respect of the proposals. The accommodation is small and fewer units would enable the units to be larger. The parking spaces are inadequate and do not conform to the parking policy of the Horninglow and Eton Neighbourhood Plan or the Parking Standards SPD. And the suggestions on the application that the on-street parking could be used is also at odds with the parking policy within the Horninglow and Eton Neighbourhood Plan. In terms of neighbour responses. We had 6 representations during the course of the application objecting to the proposals on the grounds of highway safety, impact on the flow of traffic, lack of parking, overlooking, loss of privacy, loss of light, overdevelopment and noise and disturbance. And the relevant policies to assess this are the MPPF, the ESBC local plan, the East Staff Design Guide, the Parking Standards SPD and the Horning, Glow and Eaton Neighbourhood Plan. So in terms of the assessment of the site, in principle, the site is situated in a sustainable location in the settlement boundary for Burton-on-Trent and is considered to be acceptable for residential development. In relation to the design and impact on the character of the area, it is noted that the outline is in the application is in outline only and the details of the proposal are only indicative. However, the indicative design, which consists of 2-storey developments set back into the rear of the plot with amenity space to the side and front, would be at odds with the established character and pattern of the area, which is defined by terraced dwellings with long linear rear gardens. The indicative proposal would fail to integrate with its surroundings and would not be achievable without resulting in overdevelopment of the site. In amenity terms, the proposal fails to demonstrate that suitable separation distances can be achieved to protect the amenities of the neighbouring properties or the future occupiers of the proposed units. The proposal would have a significant adverse impact by way of overlooking, loss of light and overbearing impact upon the neighbouring property at number 128 Thornley Street and significantly impacts on future occupiers of the proposed units due to lack of usable and private amenity space. In terms of highway safety, the application has failed to demonstrate a suitable access to the site and that adequate parking provision could be achieved within the site to serve both the proposed units and the existing dwelling at number 129 Thornley Street. Furthermore, the application has failed to demonstrate that there is adequate on-street parking to serve the proposals. Therefore, it is considered that the proposal is unacceptable in highway safety terms. In relation to the historic environment, the Grade 1 St Chad's Church and the Trent and Mersey Canal Conservation Area are the nearest heritage assets to the application site. However, given the intervening built form, it's considered that there will be no adverse impact on the significance of the setting of these assets. In conclusion, whilst the application is in outline with all matters reserved, any scheme progressed at reserve matters stage due to the size of the site and the amount of development proposed should be considered. The proposal would not be achievable without resulting in overdevelopment of the site, without significant impacts on neighbouring properties due to overlooking, loss of light and overbearing impact, and significant impacts on future occupiers of the proposed units due to lack of usable and private amenity space. The scheme has failed to demonstrate adequate parking can be achieved within the site or that visibility space can be achieved. The proposal complies with the local plan parking. The proposal is contrary to the local plan, parking standards SPD, national planning policy framework, design SPD and the parking standards SPD. In terms of engagement, the local authority has negotiated with the applicant and possible solutions were proactively considered in an attempt to reach a compromise. However, it was not possible to come to a compromise and the proposal is considered to be an unsustainable form of development which conflicts with relevant development plan policies and material planning considerations, including the national planning policy framework. The recommendation, therefore, is to refuse as per the officer report. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Now I'm moving to the public speaking part. I have in front of me 2 public speakers, with Mohammed Jamil and Mr. Robin Whitehouse. Can I ask this speaker, Mohammed Jamil, to come forward and deliver his speech within 3 minutes? And you will get the adequate warning after 2 minutes. And the last, is he here, Mr. Mohammed Jamil? No. Okay. In this case, can I ask Mr. Robin Whitehouse to come forward and present the case, please? For you have 3 minutes to speak about. And after 2 minutes, we'll give you the adequate warning. Thank you. Mr. Robin, please. when you're ready.
Great. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present my client's proposals this afternoon at this council meeting. We very much appreciate the opportunity we've been given to do that. As he said there, my name is Robin Morrishouse. I'm a fully qualified town planner and work for Goldfinch Town Planning Services. I hold a BSc Honours Environmental Planning degree, a postgraduate diploma in town and country planning, and I'm a full chartered member of the Royal Town Planning Institute. I have 20 years of experience dealing with complex, highly challenging urban areas with often very complex site remediation issues, dealing with previous developed land sites throughout my career spent working in the West Midlands area. I'm representing my client S&EH Group Limited, which is a Burton-upon-based private sector housing developer in connection to what we class as a very modest small-scale development proposal for residential flats. My client is an entrepreneur, builder, property developer and businessman who is committed to delivering very high quality, well-designed residential schemes at a time when the local community is experiencing a severe and chronic housing shortage. Burton-upon-Trent is the main settlement in East Staffordshire, with the majority of residents living in or around the town. Burton-upon-Trent, as the largest settlement, therefore, is considered to be the most sustainable location for new homes by the local planning authority. On this basis, these proposals have a strong level of planning policy compliance and support with the council's existing adopted local plan policy, strategic policy 2, settlement hierarchy, which is very clear. It directs new residential development to existing settlements. The proposals are making use of an underutilised urban brownfield site within the confines of an already heavily urbanised area to deliver new housing in a location that's well served by public transport facilities, extensive green infrastructure resources, and within close proximity to a main town centre location. The position is perfectly clear. The MPPF National Planning Guidance gives a strong level of support to these types of sustainable locations for new housing development. As applicants, we maintain our view that this is a very, very small scale, very modest proposal that's being presented in front of Planning Committee today for only 4 number 1-bedroom residential flats. It's important that we reinforce that point, that it is only a small-scale scheme, not a major residential proposal. We consider that by focusing new housing development within the existing settlement boundary near to the main town centre of Burton-upon-Trent, with an already built-up, heavily urbanised part of the borough, that this scheme is fully planning policy compliant with East Staffordshire Borough Council's existing adopted local plan, strategic policy SP2 settlement hierarchy, which, as I've mentioned, directs new residential schemes to the existing settlements within the borough. So the proposal has very strong levels of support within the council's own adopted local plan, which the council should consider when they're making decisions on planning applications. The proposal is well integrated. It's fully set back from the street scene with a very well integrated infill site that's right in the middle between two existing two-storey residential buildings. It therefore will have no adverse impact on the surrounding urban townscape, given that it's very well screened by these existing buildings and set back from the street scene. It will not have any...
Mr. Robin, I'm afraid I have to stop you there. You have finished your 3 minutes.
Right.
Thank you for your presentations. I tried your best to be on time.
Yeah. Very quickly.
Allow you to continue.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. We don't have any more public speakers so far. So, can I just ask the members to contribute on this debate? I'm just opening the debate. You have heard the presentations from our officers and the public speaker as well. So if the members indicate, I will ask you to contribute as well in due course. Is there any member wishes to speak on this item? Please indicate. Councillor Jones.
Could I just ask a question? This is an outline application. So the fact that some of the objections are because the apartments will be too small, or that there's inadequate parking, or the access is not great onto the street. Are those actually considerations for us today as part of this outline application? Or, you know, what are we actually looking at today? Just the principle of the development, so, you know, a building with four apartments, or what?
So because it's in outline, we do look at the principle of the development, but we have to bear in mind that any reserve matter scheme that comes forward in the future would be based on the number of units that we're looking at today. So the whilst it is in outline, any scheme progressed at a reserve matter stage due to the size of the site and the amount of development proposed does need to be considered, and it should be demonstrated that it can accommodate that within the site.
So that's the four apartments within that building. How about the access and the parking? And yeah, the access and the parking, I think, are those things that we need to agree or be supportive or not today?
The access to the site would be dealt with as a reserved matter, but they should need, because there's an indicative plan submitted, we do need to take into account whether or not they can achieve suitable levels of parking within the site to serve the proposed development, but the actual access detail would be a reserve matter.
Any councillors at this stage? Councillor Whittaker.
So regarding the proposals for the parking, is that going to be accommodated on the site, or is street parking sort of within that as well?
The applicant was asked to provide a parking survey if it wasn't possible to provide the parking within the site. That information wasn't provided. The local plan, parking standards SPD and Horninglow and Eaton neighbourhood plan require a certain level of parking to developments, so it would need to comply with those policies.
Thank you.
Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. The size of the building, the design of the building, needs to be respectful to the neighbours. And I felt that trying to imagine those properties in that space were a bit overbearing, overlooking, and too many buildings in the gap. Thank you.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, just to agree with Councillor Legg, I felt it was very imposing this morning, especially for the neighbours on the one side, because there's a diagonal line of that boundary, which means it's going to be extremely close to their windows on the left-hand side as you look at it, so I agree.
Councillor Slater.
Thank you. There was lots of stuff in the applicant's application about biodiversity gain. There was very little, or there was nothing at all, was there, about renewable energy, solar panels, heat source pumps? Was that a question we asked at all at any point?
Because that's an outline, we wouldn't be looking at
you
that.
You wouldn't ask about that.
It would be in the details.
So there's no point arguing about it now for a reserve matters application later on, then. Is that the case?
If members were minded to approve this application, you could request conditions for standards, but that doesn't mean if you didn't request conditions it would be, you know, forgotten at reserve matters. It might be by the time that comes in there might be different standards that might you know, be more up to date than current ones. Just something to bear in mind.
I'm coming back to after Councillor Huckabee. Mm-hmm. He indicated first.
Whilst the original, the current layout, it's on. It's on.
Hello. Testing 1 2 1 2.
While the current layout favours the loss of light situation with regard to the next door neighbour's bedroom windows, this particular design doesn't, because it's two stories and the current one is single story. I can see a way of revising the existing plans to accommodate the above flat down into the place where we've got cars, to make that single all the way round, which would get rid of the problem of light into next door neighbours, but then that complicates the problem of parking on site. I don't know whether there's any way that that can be balanced. I can't see a way of getting four vehicles on there. If the two are in position that are horizontal, then the two that are parked vertical have no way of getting out. Well, one at least hasn't. So I don't really know how to resolve that, either the parking, which is there anyway with the current design, or if the design changed for the loss of light problems, accommodating the actual flat situation, but impinging on the car parking again. So I'm a bit of a loss to find favour in these things.
We can only consider the details that have been provided, and we did try to negotiate with the applicants to reduce the number further, but they felt that the furthest they wanted to reduce it to was four.
Councillor Legge.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt again. We'll make it brief. Can you tell me how many metres of community space was the please on the plan?
Just want to give us a moment to find the answer for that one.
Sorry, it is within the report where it does set out that the SPD requires 10 square metres per flat. There is an area of amenity space of approximately 29 square metres proposed between the new building and existing amenity area serving number 129 Thornley Street, and a secondary amenity space to the frontage adjacent to the proposed parking spaces proposed of approximately 25 square metres.
So it's got an area shown here, which was the first measurement Lisa just read out, and then some here next to the proposed car parking.
So not each flat's got a portion, it's shared then, you're telling me. Thank you.
Councillor Holton.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to get a better understanding. Obviously, these plans have come before the committee before and was originally six. How has that differed now that it's four? Taken into, I'm assuming, similar points were put forward to the developer when it was proposed that it would be six and now it's four.
It hasn't been to committee before. This is the first time it's come, but during the course of the application we negotiated with the applicant to reduce the number of units within the site because of the issues with providing sufficient parking spaces and amenity space, etc., for 6 units. So it was reduced to 4, but they weren't willing to reduce that number any further.
Sorry, can I ask at this point, through negotiation, was there a recommendation of how much, or was he leaving that to the developer, the reduction that is?
Yeah, generally when officers negotiate, I suppose we're not the applicant, so we can only guide. So on this one, we didn't give a number. As you can see, it's a very constrained site, and it might be that if a different layout is shown that, you know, more than one might be achievable, or it might be that actually only one is achievable. So I suppose that we always, you know, kind of give some guidance to applicants, but ultimately it is them to design it.
Councillor Whittaker.
I mean, looking at this, I find it difficult to think there'd be no impact on the amenities that the present neighbours are enjoying. The parking, issues with parking, and there's no highways work being done on the street parking side of it. The access, again, we don't know at this stage. The amenity space shown on there, although it's probably enough. It's not particularly well. It won't be very usable by the residents of that. And I just feel it's overdeveloped on site. It's bringing nothing to the area at all. It's opposed in the neighbourhood plans for parking and other reasons. So I don't see with the plans in front of me now that I can support this application.
Officer's recommendations is to refuse. The motion is asking whether are you supporting the refusal of in accordance with the officer's recommendations. The actual applications was P/2022/00549, outline applications for the erections of a detached building to form 4 flats with all matters reserved, including demolitions of existing building, land between 128 and 129 Thornley Street, Burton upon Trent, Staffordshire, DE142QP. I repeat, the officers is asking us to refuse this application. Those who are in favour, could you please show your hands? You already seconded it. If you want to second it again, I can take it formally.
I'll second what you just said there.
That's fine.
I think first time it was unclear what I was seconding.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. So I propose the actual motions as officers' recommendations to refuse it, and it is duly seconded by Councillor Whittaker. So the questions in front of the committee, those who are in favour to refuse this application, could you please indicate, show your hands. Any against? Any abstention? And the application is refused. Thank you for all of your attendance. Right. At this stage, I would like to bring our chairman of the planning committee to chair the meeting. And I will retire to my original seat. Thank you.
Thank you, committee members. Moving over to agenda item number 6, appeals received and determined, to consider the attached reports. Noted. Thank you. Item agenda number 7, delegated planning permissions, to consider the attached report. Noted. Thank you. Now we'll move over to the private section of the minute. The press and public are likely to be excluded from this meeting. So in accordance with section 108, item number 4, the local government, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely in the view of nature of business to be transacted or the nature of proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraph part 1 of schedule 12A of Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Can I propose the motion, please, for private minutes? So I'm proposing the motion, and Jackie, Councillor Jones, sorry, are you, and seconder, Councillor. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Can I see a show of hands, all those in favour, please? Motion carried, thank you.